It is Thursday, November 21st. Welcome to Menace to Society, Menace to Sports, the college football show, the analysis show. Really fired up, man. Got some good stuff to talk about today. I'm not even going to apologize, but we had a two-episode week instead of a four-episode week this week because we have a huge event going down. If you haven't heard about it, I'm sure you have. If you listen to the show, you've heard me talk about it. This tailgate's popping. I mean, we've sold like 250 tickets or something like that, and we probably can sell another 90 or so. We could probably fit 300 to 350 in there comfortably, but it's going to be sick. We got heaters. It's covered in case it rains. We're good. We're going to be dry. Got a private bathroom right next to Varsity Club. It's at the Point on Lane, right on the corner of Lane and Tuller Park or something like that. And got great food coming in. Buckeye Vodka is bringing vodka. Rogue Brewing and North High Brewing are providing beer. We're going to have all kinds of food. Shade on the Canal, Giant Eagle, Revelry Tavern, Katzinger's Deli's bringing some desserts. So we're going to be loaded up with food, drinks. It's only $50. You get three drink tickets. You can buy extra drink tickets for $5 a drink ticket. It's cheaper than anywhere you're going to find down there, and it's going to be live. We got some custom signage, custom cornholes, got some a couple bartenders. So anyways, stop by and see us. You're not going to regret it. It's going to be $60 at the door, $50 if you buy them early. Patreon subscribers get a discount. So check those out. And then also, before we get started, make sure you get your free week from Prome Athletics. They ran a promotion, so you can get a free week to get their analytics. You'll hear the ad later in the show. And then take that analytic advice and apply it to your MyBookie account with our other advertiser, and because it's time to make some money this weekend. We're going to put a parlay in at the tailgate for everyone to be involved, and it's going to be awesome. So make sure you check those out, but let's get to the show.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State. Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
No man is more important than the team. No coach is more important than the team. Team.
What a hit, Denzel Ward! You got barbecue right there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Did you push yourself to be great today? Did you do it? If you didn't do it, you lost today.
Don't let that be standing in the way. Go away.
Menace to. Welcome to Menace to Sports. We're going to have to create a new intro. We got a couple intros we use on the two different platforms, two different shows, two different styles. So starting next, December 1st has really been our target date, but I think next week we might have to roll out a new intro song. But first, huge news breaking this morning for at least Buckeye Nation and Ohio State fans. President Michael Drake, the man, the myth, the legend, that received oral sex from an intern in the recruiting office, allegedly, not, it might have been a joke. I don't know. I can't remember if it's a true story or not, but in the sports media, that's not relevant. But Michael Drake announces this will be his final academic year at The Ohio State University. So I think that causes time for a little celebration for Buckeye Nation. Party going on in Buckeye Nation today. I promise you that, at least the majority of them, because you talk about an incompetent president and a guy that really screwed up a lot of things at Ohio State. I mean, a lot of things. It was bad. And I'm not going to go through them all because this is not a show about academic presidents. But it's a good day in Buckeye Nation. And I know a lot of people are talking about it, a lot of speculation, a lot of things to come on the who should replace Michael Drake. And I will say this just because it's, I mean, it's definitely relevant to Buckeye fans, and it's relevant. It's a relevant name to Buckeye, to national college football fans. And I know Buckeye Nation's already buzzing about it, is Jim Tressel needs to be the president at Ohio State. Just so we're clear, there's no other candidate. There's no one else to even look into. He's currently at Youngstown State. He is one of the best things to happen to Ohio State University, regardless of what you think of Tattoo Gate. Jim Tressel should be the president at Ohio State. But the good news is, even if he's not, it's an improvement automatically. Or maybe Gordon Gee should come back. What do you think? Gordon Gee returns for, I think, his 17th stint as Ohio State's president, a guy that got ran out because he made a couple, like, inappropriate jokes, but was a phenomenal president. I mean, just you talk about engaging the university. This could be great news because I don't know people that know this, but there's a guy named Dr. Shari who was doing unbelievable research, and the charity that our tailgate is working with is my grandfather's tailgate, which is for Alzheimer's research, and it's Earl and Jean Bruce's charitable benefits. And so there was a doctor, Dr. Shari, that was at Ohio State. Phenomenal. I mean, you talk about this groundbreaking research, groundbreaking things going on in the Alzheimer's quest to find a cure and really impact the Alzheimer's community, which is a devastating disease. And President Michael Drake completely ran him out of there. And if you want to know how phenomenal this doctor is, just Google West Virginia University Alzheimer's, because all the people that were at the Ohio State University Hospital that were Gordon Gee people that were just, I mean, they're making right now groundbreaking, I mean, using ultrasound, all kinds of stuff. They're treading water where no other Alzheimer's research team has treaded. And they're doing it all at West Virginia University. They're getting all the pub, all the credit because of Gordon Gee and because of Michael Drake, what he did, just how he ostracized that whole team, that whole unit at the hospital. And it's really a joke. So maybe there's a chance we can get that back in Columbus, back where, at Ohio State, where it was supposed to be, because they're going to find a cure for Alzheimer's. They're going to find a way to reverse Alzheimer's, to prevent Alzheimer's. And it's going to be Dr. Shari and his team at West Virginia if we don't get him back to Ohio State. But quick side topic, just had to bring that up. So great day in Buckeye Nation. I let that song go on a little long because I was in here like dancing. It was like the best day ever. That clown is out of Scarlet and Gray. So we're going to have to deal with him through the spring, and then it's over. Then it's done. The tenure is over. Another thing I want to talk about, a lot of conversation, had Mecca Don and V on the Pilot Boys podcast. Shout out to them in studio yesterday. They were recording their podcast, which is a new podcast. You should check it out. I was on it with them. And I listened to it, and I wasn't there for this segment, but they had a segment about Tua Tagovailoa and his injury. And I've heard a lot of different takes. I gave a quick opinion on the last show, but I do want to talk about it because there's a number of things that I've heard in media, social media, really everywhere. And it is this: all this heat on Nick Saban for playing the kid, right? Why did he play the kid? He should have sat Tua Tagovailoa. He should have sat him and not played him, or he should have pulled him out earlier. So much conversation about it. And my question is, why now? Let's not be revisionist historians here. Why are we angry at Nick Saban now? Oh, because it was okay that he played against LSU because it was a big game? That's the reason. It's okay to put a kid in harm's way if it's a big game, but it's not okay if it's a lesser opponent. The other thing I thought about is, do people watch college football and the upsets that occur? Certainly, if Georgia would have said, you know what, Jake Fromm's a little banged up, let's sit him against South Carolina. Look at how it went with Jake Fromm in the game. You can't sit a kid against a conference opponent. I don't care if they have 4 wins, 2 wins. You see it every year. Upsets, upsets, upsets. You can't sit that kid. And here's the reality of it that I don't know that people understand. If Tua Tagovailoa was healthy enough to play and wanted to play, we're saying Nick Saban should have still benched him? Stop it with the protect the kid. He's 21 years old. 21 years old with family, people that can help him make decisions like this. Doctors rely heavily on the athlete's own assessment when it comes down to the difference between are you able to play and are you going to play? The reality is, if they say medically he is able to play in the football game, and they ask the kid, how do you feel? Do you want to play? And the kid says, I'm playing. What are you going to do? Say no? It's his body. It's his choice. And I promise you, Tua didn't say, I don't know about this. And they pushed him into playing. Did you see the kid on the sideline before the series before he got hurt? Nick Saban was having a conversation with him about pulling him. And he was adamant that he was going, staying in the game. The kid loves to play. You watch him. I mean, you watch everything that kid does. He just wants to play football. He just wants to play football. So you needed to restrict him for, and it is a freak injury. I get it. Having an ankle injury does make every other part of your body more prone to injury. I get it. That's real. But that you could say that about everyone. So we should have sat the kid and said, no, Tua, I know the doctor said you can play. I know you want to play, but you cannot play. I think back to JT Barrett at Ohio State in 2017. The kid had knee surgery right after the Michigan game and was adamant on returning to play in the Big Ten championship game. Adamant. He rehabbed like 18 hours a day. It got to the point where they said the incision is, his knee is stable enough to play in the game if he wants to. And guess what JT Barrett said? I want to. And so guess what he did? He played. And honestly, I mean, selfishly, I think we could have done more in the throw game with a Dwayne Haskins in the pocket to go put up maybe some more points and bust into the playoffs with a convincing win, but we didn't. But it was just fine. The kid got to play. You know why? Because he was able to play and wanted to play. So let's relax on Nick Saban. Now, do I think Nick Saban would make a selfish decision? Absolutely. But do I think that it's his fault that Tua got hurt? Absolutely not. It's a part of the game. And the reality is, Tua now has a decision to make. Is he going to just crazy rehab and hope that a team takes a flyer on him and goes to the NFL? He's still going to be a millionaire, and I get a huge difference in money. Or does he come back for one more year and try to become the number one overall pick? Because he wasn't going to be anyways. He was going to be probably a top five pick, maybe a top 10 pick. And the difference in the number one pick and the number 10 pick is astronomical. So does he, what's he going to do? I mean, I think he's going to go to the NFL. I think he'll rehab. He'll take a late first round draft choice, being confident in his ability to make it through that rookie contract that regardless of where you get drafted is peanuts compared to your second contract anyways. I mean, you're talking about a $30 million contract all the way to like a $120 million contract. So anyways, that's enough about Tua. I just had to get it off my chest because so many people have so many differing opinions, and I haven't agreed with many of them. I mean, people either say Nick Saban was right. They had to win with style points, or Nick Saban was dead wrong. He put the kid in harm's way. But anyways, that's a little national conversation, a little Ohio State presidency, the presidential debate. But next, we really want to get into the game of the week. So we're going to take a break for one of our sponsors right now, and we're going to talk about the huge matchup in Columbus on Saturday and the huge parties coming up next. Are you tired of paying your bookie every weekend because your lock of the week is as reliable as a Jim Harbaugh game plan? What if you could leverage a data analytics group who has consistently predicted results for the last 4 years with a 60% documented success rate? The guys at ProMathletics.com have done just that and want you to get in on the action for free this week. Yep, for free. With 100% transparency, their model has resulted in them being the only handicapping group in the world to finish in the top 100 the last 3 years in the Las Vegas Super Contest, the globe's largest handicapping contest. I personally used their picks this weekend and went 5-2 in college football. I'm 11-4 overall using their college football platform for the last 2 weeks. No joke, it's free money. They want you to see the truth so bad that they are giving away a free week of all sports with code MENACE. Again, promo code MENACE gets you a 1 week VIP pass for free. No strings attached, no BS, trust me, and try it out. You literally have nothing to lose. If you want to sign up for the remainder of the season, you can use code MENACE50 for 50% off any package. That's MENACE, the word, then the number 50, for 50% off any package. Don't let another losing weekend get the best of your wallet. Head to Pro, as in P-R-O, mathletics.com to start winning today. All right, here we go. Number 2 Ohio State Buckeyes host at number 8 Penn State Nittany Lions at high noon Saturday in the Horseshoe. We have College Game Day on campus. Do not go. There's a cease and desist order to anyone that goes to College Game Day. You're no longer allowed to be a Buckeye fan if you go. Because there's also the big noon kickoff that should have double the attendance if you're a true Buckeye fan or a Nittany Lion fan, really. If you're a true college football fan, you will go to the Fox big noon kickoff after you come to the Menace to Sports tailgate, and then you can come on back because we have a bunch of food and alcohol and drinks for you to drink. So definitely going to want to check those out, but everyone's coming to town. I think everyone, I'm waiting to hear that the president or someone like that's coming. But this is the only top 10 college football playoff ranking matchup remaining in the regular season. And in true Buckeye fashion, there's going to be rain and it's going to be cold. And I just want to talk about that, how critical that is for this matchup. Because I think back in my career, and the biggest game that everyone wants to point at is Michigan State in 2015. And to be honest, it's a similar team coming into the Horseshoe on Saturday. I mean, it's not their backup or third string quarterback or whatever it was at Michigan State, but this is a crazy talented Ohio State team that should be the best team in the country. I mean, it's them and Clemson in my mind, and they have a formidable opponent coming into town, and it's all going to be about how both teams manage the elements, manage the rain, manage the cold, manage all the difficulties that come with that. And in Michigan State, it was JT Barrett didn't throw the ball well early in the rain, and so we completely abandoned the throw game. Michigan State knew it, so they, even more so than they already were going to do, they loaded the box. And then it was a complete miscalculation to just flat say, we need to run JT Barrett every play. We don't hand it to Zeke. Don't try to throw it. And we lost the game because of it. And so that was the, and my biggest criticism of that game was we lost the game because of how we reacted to the elements. Why not lose the game shooting your gun, throwing it to Michael Thomas, handing the ball to Zeke? I mean, doing the things with the uber NFL talented offense that we had. And so it's about what is going to happen in this game. How will Ohio State manage? And if you think back, of course, they've had two huge games this year, Wisconsin and now Penn State, both in the rain, both kind of shitty weather, shitty elements. And it's all about the preparation for a rainy weather game. And I talked about it going into Wisconsin, but this week had to be the best week of preparation in Ryan Day's career, in Justin Fields' career. I mean, the number of times they needed to throw wet balls, catch wet balls, you know, center quarterback snaps and with wet balls. And I mean, everything needs to be prepared for the elements, so you are maximized for that situation. And I know we used to have big, huge, those like 10 gallon buckets or whatever they are filled with water. And the manager would dunk the ball and snap it in 7-on-7. And so the quarterback, Justin Fields, had to get used to catching a wet ball and throwing a wet ball. And the receivers had to catch wet balls. And my biggest criticism will be, if there's drops early, to take the gloves off. They don't work in the rain. Take them off. Another part of this, because it's going to be slightly colder than the Wisconsin game, is the on the sideline, the management, how Brian Hartline keeps his receivers fresh, how Jeff Hafley keeps the DBs fresh. I mean, keep them warm, really, not even fresh. They're going to have heated benches. If you see those white benches, they're heated and they feel great. There's heaters in the bottom blowing heat. The actual benches are heated. So when they sit on them, they're keeping warm. They have their coats and all that other stuff. And it's also about making sure if the defense is on the field for an extended period, getting Justin Fields up and throwing to the receivers so he's still throwing, staying used to the elements. The receivers are used to catching the ball with that precipitation on the ball and their gloves. It's going to be about doing those things on the sideline, making sure the receivers and the tight ends and the running backs are getting on the bikes. And I mean, keeping a sweat going to stay warm, because that is more important than you know. It's critical, really. And Ohio State walks in to this game as an 18.5 point favorite, which is extremely high for a top 10 matchup, and really a testament to how dominant the Buckeyes have been in all phases of their game. Pro Football Focus actually has Penn State with a 56% likelihood to cover, and I mean, that's a big spread, so I'm not surprised by that. They have 51% probability that it's going to be a lower scoring game than Vegas anticipates. So I expect this to be a little bit closer than Vegas thinks. But I really want to look at both sides of the ball. And starting with Penn State on offense versus the number one defense in the United States of America, this is probably the biggest mismatch for Penn State. The biggest thing to overcome is this defense and the return of Chase Young, obviously. I mean, Pro Football Focus has Penn State as the number 34 graded offense in the country. And as mentioned every show, I think Ohio State's the number one graded defense in America. This is the difference in the game. This is the lopsided matchup. I think James Franklin is one of the best scheme coaches, game day prep coaches, game plan coaches in the country. Every year he comes out with a few wrinkles, a few, complimentary plays that catch a defense off guard. And he always has such a good game plan. Very creative too. He always has been. It's so well organized and thought out. It's really excellent. And that is going to be something that Ohio State, I'm curious to see this Ohio State, because they haven't played a team that's going to scheme them up like Penn State. I mean, Wisconsin is Wisconsin. They're always going to be that same style of offense. There are not a lot of dick'em plays. It's going to be interesting to see what Ohio State puts in game plan wise to catch James Franklin off guard, to catch Sean Clifford off guard. That's what I'm interested to see. And the big thing is, this is going to be all about Penn State's ability, or really inability, to run the football. The Lawn Boys, as Jawan Sider, the running back coach at Penn State, has coined their backfield. They're going to have to be the difference for Penn State if they're going to win this football game. And they will have to do it against the best rush defense in America. And just looking at who they played with a good rush defense, I mean, Michigan has the 9th rated rush defense in America. They had just over 100 yards, 3.4 yards a carry, and one touchdown. Michigan State, 15th rush defense in the country, had 113 yards, 3.0 yards a carry, and zero touchdowns. So they've only faced two top 15 rushing defenses and have had kind of rough days against both, barely eclipsing 100 yards, averaging just over 3 yards per carry, and only had one total rushing touchdown combined in both games. Ohio State is going to trot out, the 4th best rushing defense in America, not one, into the horseshoe, and will be the stoutest. This will be the stoutest run-stopping unit Penn State has faced to date. They're also the number one pass defense in the country and a top 10 ball disruption defense. Turnovers, man. It's the name of the game. And this is the issue. Sean Clifford, the quarterback at Penn State, he's been average at best. I would call it average. I think he's above average of expectations, but on a national landscape, he's been average. He ranks in the bottom half of the Big Ten in pass efficiency, 15th in the Big Ten in interceptions thrown. And the real, real stat line here is the Penn State, skill group has 25 drops on the year. 25. They have a big play receiver in KJ Hamler. He's electric. He has the speed, the explosive ability to cause some defensive attention. I don't want to say mismatch, but it's going to take some attention. But his inconsistency catching the ball is extremely concerning. His percentage of deep play receptions isn't astounding. I mean, 41% of his yards have come on big plays. That's 17th in the Big Ten. Nothing to create a headache or panic over. He's 3rd in the Big Ten with 15 catches over 20 yards downfield. So that's a huge point of emphasis for the defense, really. They have to limit him downfield. However, ball reception is the key. He has 11 of Penn State's 25 drops this year. For context, that's the same number of drops for the entire Ohio State football team this year. I'm talking backups, walk-ons, you name it. 11 drops for all of Ohio State's skill group, 11 drops for KJ Hamler alone. So this is going to be the matchup. Will Penn State be able to run the football against the best rushing defense they have faced when they haven't ran the ball well against a good rushing defense? And if they can't, or even if they are just marginally successful in the run game, will they be able to throw the ball on the number one pass defense in the country? Will Sean Clifford turn the ball over like he has been doing? Because if he turns the ball over and if they can't run the ball, Ohio State's probably going to cover. That's how ugly this could be. And when I look at the Menace analytics, as I call it, kind of my own statistical analysis of combining two teams and seeing how they match up, I mean, Ohio State, when they're on offense, just first and second down, is like a four-spot favorite or four-spot higher ranking than Penn State's defense. But when Ohio State's on defense, that's when the landslide occurs. I mean, almost 40 spots better than Penn State's offense. Critical down and distances, Ohio State has an edge on offense, has the same edge on defense. So it's really going to be about that first and second down offense. And we'll talk about that more in a minute. But getting to this Ohio State offense and Penn State defense, I don't want to forget about the Buckeyes' previous game in the rain in their earlier top 15 matchup against Wisconsin, because it's applicable. It was another formidable opponent, another really quality opponent. And Justin Fields had a really average day, 12 of 22, 167 yards. He was sacked 5 times, which is going to be the huge key for Ohio State. This will also be another test for Ohio State's skill group, as a decent secondary is coming into the horseshoe, and they need to have a better performance through the air than versus Wisconsin in similar, but actually, I guess, slightly colder conditions. Wet and cold, that's never good for a wideout. Wideouts are like cats. I used to say it all the time, they're like cats. They get wet and they don't want to go anywhere, don't want to be anywhere. They want to sit there. They're a little prima donna-ish. But Ohio State has some tough receivers, so maybe not as much the Buckeyes and Zone 6. But this is Pro Football Focus's number 3 graded offense in Columbus versus the number 2 graded defense in America, the Nittany Lions. It's going to really be all about Justin Fields and really Zone 6. They have 3 receivers in the top 7 in the Big Ten in touchdowns. Chris Olave, number 1 in the Big Ten with 9 touchdowns. And then Ben Victor and KJ Hill are tied with 6 each. And then it'll really be about what can Ohio State get out of Austin Mack? Is Austin Mack going to play? Is he going to provide depth? Will Garrett Wilson be more involved this week? I think the real question here with the weather is, how will the Buckeyes be able to run the ball against the number 1 rushing defense in the United States of America? The question is, are they going to be able to average 5.5 yards a carry or 5.3 yards a carry like they did against Wisconsin? Is J.K. Dobbins going to be able to go off for over 150 yards and a couple touchdowns again like he did against Wisconsin? If they're able to do that, and if that offensive line is able to win the line of scrimmage, which they did against Wisconsin and they have not done all year, will they be able to against this Penn State rush defense, the number 1 rush defense in the country? If they can do that, this is going to be a really good day for the Buckeyes. And then critical situations. Critical situations. The number 1 third down offense, the Buckeyes, faces a top 20 third down defense in the rain. That's huge. And the critical component of being a great third down offense in the rain is first and second down efficiency. You want to get to manageable third down distances. We talked about third down distances after the Wisconsin game. They have to be in 3rd and 5 or less. If they are in 3rd and 7 plus, that's a lot of drives that are going to stop. They cannot expect Justin Fields to convert 3rd and 8 and 9 in the rain all day. It's not going to happen. And if it does, my gosh, throw him in the Heisman race. And the biggest part about all of this is, how will the pass pro hold up? Penn State has two of the top 10 pass rushers in the Big Ten, in Yetur Gross-Matos with 6.5 sacks and Shaka Toney with 6.5 sacks. So 13 sacks between them. They don't have a Chase Young, but they get to the quarterback well. They have 33 sacks on the year, third in the Big Ten, number 12 in America. So safe to say they've gotten after the quarterback. Now, Ohio State's offensive line is 2nd in the Big Ten in pass pro. They're 91% efficient. That's just the 5 O-linemen, though. Overall, Ohio State's pass pro is 36th in the country grade-wise, and they've allowed 22 sacks this year, 74th in America. If they want to make this a game, if they want to make this tougher than it should be, let them turn the ball over twice, and let Justin Fields get sacked 5 times. This will be a dogfight that no one wants in Buckeye Nation. Ultimately, I think this is going to be a signature win for Ryan Day. I think that they come out, I don't know that they cover, like I said, but I don't see how Penn State is able to move the ball against this defense. And I think this is the game that really separates Ohio State from LSU, because I think that in the elements, they are going to have a day. But really excited to watch it. Obviously, the tailgate will be there, so we'll be there watching it live at the Point on Lane. So come check it out. Go to our website, get tickets. And I want to talk about the national landscape before we close the show out. So we'll get to that in a minute. And we got one more sponsor. So we'll hear from one of our partners right now, and then we'll be right back. Thanks. Attention, past, present, and future MyBookie players. During Thanksgiving week, MyBookie is offering a risk-free bet on the Bears-Lions game. Simply choose a team against the spread for up to $250. If you win, congrats. You got extra holiday spending money. If you lose, congratulations to you as well. MyBookie will give you all of your money back. It's a no-brainer because you literally cannot lose. It's no risk, all gravy. It doesn't matter whether you're an experienced player or a first-time customer. MyBookie welcomes all to come play. So quit waiting around and sign up today. Do you find yourself wanting to sports bet but have lots of questions? Don't sweat it. MyBookie's patient customer service team can walk you through the process. And the best part is, if you join this Thanksgiving week, you'll still have one last shot to take advantage of their incredible sign-up offer. Just log into MyBookie.ag and make your first deposit with promo code MENACE, M-E-N-A-C-E. And MyBookie will match your deposit, dollar for dollar, to jumpstart your bankroll. And that's on top of the risk-free bet. Let me repeat, that's a guaranteed deposit match and a risk-free bet for Thanksgiving only. So if you're a true football fan, you do not want to let this opportunity pass you by. You simply can't lose. Make sure you do your part to support your team this season. Hop on the gravy train and get in on the action with MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, well, really excited about that Ohio State matchup. Also, the rumored snitch, I forgot to mention, Chase Young gets to face the snitchy snitcher. Like I said, that was just, I was trying, when I brought that up, I was addressing rumors that it was Maryland, and I addressed them with the actual rumors in the state of Maryland that it was James Franklin. Certainly don't know that. I mean, what I do know is he had a hand in it. He didn't single-handedly do it. But anyways, just excited to watch that matchup, excited to watch Chase. And if you didn't hear James Franklin talk about Chase Young in the interview, oh, someone sounds guilty. But it is SEC scrimmage week. If you want to get pissed off about scheduling and the inequality of scheduling, go take a look at the gamut of games in the SEC this week, or don't. I'll tell them to you. Alabama is taking on the vaunted Western Carolina Catamounts. Auburn is taking on Stanford, not Stanford with an N, not the Cardinal, Stanford. Bobby Bowden coached there like 50 years ago. Kentucky has a big game against UT Martin, directional Martin, Tennessee, I guess. Vanderbilt plays Eastern Tennessee State. Mississippi State has a great matchup against Abilene Christian. LSU plays Arkansas, which that might be the worst opponent on the list. And then Georgia has a decent game against A&M. So get ready for some stellar games in the SEC country. Now, I do want to talk about one thing. As I just talk about this college, the national landscape, and we're going to talk about more about this on Sunday, Monday. But there's a team that needs to be getting a little more respect than they have, and that's the Utah Utes. They dropped a game to USC they shouldn't have dropped on the road. But here's what they have, and it's of note. Because I believe that the winner of Utah-Oregon should be in the playoffs. I do. And I look at tackling defense in the country. It's one of my favorite stats. Ohio State's the best tackling defense in the country, and Utah's third. And they're one of the best defenses in the United States of America. But here's what doesn't get a lot of publicity out in Pac-12 country. This quarterback they have, Tyler Huntley, is playing really well. He's the seventh highest graded quarterback in the country. Here's the top three. Ready? Justin Fields, one. Joe Burrow, two. Justin Herbert at Oregon, three. Tyler Huntley, seven, tied with Jake Fromm at Georgia. Jalen Hurts is 12, and Trevor Lawrence is 21. Those are the kind of the relevant quarterbacks, obviously, with Tua being out. Now, Trevor Lawrence is playing ridiculous the last, whatever, 5 weeks, 4 weeks. But let's talk about adjusted completion percentage. Tyler Huntley, number one in the country. Deep ball completion percentage. Tyler Huntley, number one in the country. When he's kept clean, Tyler Huntley, number one in the country, 92%. This kid is playing phenomenal. And then you add in that they have a running back, Zach Moss, who's the number three graded running back in the country. He's the third most elusive back in the country. I'm just telling you, for national college football fans that maybe aren't paying attention to the West Coast, watch out for Utah. And I really like Oregon too, but watch out for Utah. They might be a playoff team for the first time in school history since Urban Meyer went undefeated and beat Pitt in the Fiesta Bowl. And then I wanted to talk about the top receivers in college football. Some of these are just astounding. Obviously, we talked about LSU. Ridiculous. I think LSU's biggest weakness is their defense. I mean, I don't think that. I've been saying that for, I think, 8 weeks, and now the national media wants to pick it up. Now they want to run with it like it's something new. But LSU has phenomenal players on the perimeter. Clemson has four receivers ranked in the top 200 in the country. Oklahoma has CeeDee Lamb. Then they have a couple of guys that are decent. Alabama is the one. They have three receivers in the top 100. So it'll be interesting to see how that offense plays without Tua, because they're not out of it. They're really not. Ohio State has Chris Olave is the only top 100 receiver grade-wise. KJ Hill's the 16th ranked slot in the country. Georgia just lacks complete skill on the perimeter. And then Oregon has a couple guys out about 150, 160 range. I think Clemson is the hot team right now. They have the defense to back it up. Their quarterback is now playing like the best quarterback in the country. They have the most elusive running back in the country, Travis Etienne. Ridiculous. He has the most missed tackles forced in the country. He's playing out of this world. And with quarterback performance and running back performance, I look at offensive line performance. And if you look at grades, the top O-lines in the country, as it applies to the landscape, Clemson number 4, Alabama number 5, Oregon number 6, tied with Georgia, Ohio State 32nd, Oklahoma 72nd, LSU 76th, and here's Utah's flaw, the 117th best O-line in the country. How about sacks allowed by an offensive line? Bama has only allowed one sack their offensive line. Clemson 2, Georgia 3, Oregon and Oklahoma 5 each. Ohio State's offensive line has allowed 7 sacks. And LSU, their offensive line has allowed 12 sacks. So I like LSU's quarterback. I like their running back, and I like their receivers. Their O-line is average. Their defense is far below average. I think this is a two-team race right now, and I think Utah belongs in the conversation in the mainstream. We talked about missed tackles. I mean, there's a lot. LSU 91, Oregon 99. Texas 131. Had to throw that in there. But I think the landscape is becoming clearer and clearer and clearer as we watch this. I think it's Ohio State, Clemson 1 and 2. Pick one, 1A, 1B. And then I think obviously you have to throw in LSU because of they're undefeated. They've won more big games than anyone. Their defense is majorly suspect. And I think the most critical thing here is who is the one seed. Because you don't want to play LSU and then Clemson, or Clemson and then LSU if you're Ohio State. You want to play Utah or Oregon and then go play the winner of Clemson, LSU. That's what you have to want. But it's going to be interesting. I want to get to Peepaw's picks before we close out the show to let you know what his thoughts are. And if you sign up for the Pro Mathletics, then you will obviously have their analytic advice also. And hopefully you can win some money. So let's get to Peepaw's picks before we end the show. And by the way, Peepaws went 7-2, had a rough week, like 3-7 or 2-7, then went 7-2 and went 8-2 last weekend. So he's on kind of a heater right now. So I'd check him out. Here's his, I believe his nine games of the week. One, the noon games he likes are Minnesota -13.5 at Northwestern. He likes East Carolina -14.5 against UConn. Oklahoma State -7 at West Virginia. And then Boston College +19 at Notre Dame. So those are the noon and 2:30 games. Then at 3:30 games, apparently he likes the away teams early, the home teams midday. He likes Georgia -13.5 against Texas A&M, USC -13.5 with UCLA coming in town. Georgia's at home. I don't know if I just said A&M. Georgia has A&M coming to town. Baylor -5.5 against Texas. Boy, I'd love to see that with the old Thomas. And then the night games, Oregon -14.5 at Arizona State, Kansas State +2.5 at Texas Tech, and then he likes Tulsa at home -3 against Houston. He always has to throw in one, like you're like, Tulsa and Houston? Who the hell knows about Tulsa and Houston? But check him out, 8-2 last week, 14-4 the 2 weeks prior, and then he had a bad week mixed in there somewhere, but he's kind of on a heater. I'd check it out. I'd pick maybe 3 or 4 of those and try to roll a parlay with my bookie, but definitely check out Pro Mathletics. They'll help you pick the winners. And then, like I said, we'll be at the tailgate. I'm going to put in a parlay at the tailgate. So come up to me. Let's talk about it. Let's get it done. Come see us, man. 8 a.m., doors open at the tailgate. We're going to have a great time, man. It's going to be awesome. Hanging out, kind of playing some cornhole, doing a little tailgating. I don't know what that means, but we're going to do it. So come hang out with us, and then we'll see you out there. If you're interested in advertising, sponsorship, or anything really, if you need to contact me, us, you want to talk about opportunities, hit me up, Zach, Z-A-C-H, at Menace to Society Podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you were entertained. Hope you liked the show. So fired up about where this platform is going to go next week. Just had to get this tailgate out of the way. And then we are going to do it up even bigger for the spring game. So get ready for that. But thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you Monday.
Gil Elliott. And he's got an opening. Elliott off to the races. Can they catch him? No, they can't. Touchdown. 85 yards.
It's so easy to be average. It takes a little something to be special, Don. It takes a little something special to be a great player.
Braxton Miller's loose. Spin move. Miller heading for the end zone.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We're going inside him. We're going outside him. Inside him, outside him. And when we get him on a run once, we're going to keep him on a run. And we're not going to pass unless our secondary comes up too close. But don't forget, man, we're going to get him on a run. We're going to go, 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 go. And we aren't going to stop until we go to that goal line. Don't forget, man, today's the day we're going to win.
Menace to...